Hello and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner podcast. Today we'll discuss Hills West Spring Sports, a short preview as we're coming up to the new season, some college hoops, NBA, and the NFL offseason. We are excited and let's do it. After a long break, we are back for another edition of the Colts Corner podcast. I am Douglas Satuca alongside Benjamin Dixon and Maddie Ice Gold. We are very excited. We had quite a layoff right there, but we're back and ready to go.
Yeah, a little short break, but we're back better than ever and ready to do it.
Totally. So no Brian today. That's a real problem here. It might be a big hole. It's a big hole to fill.
But we do know he's enjoying his lax practice right now, so we'll dive right into that.
Brilliant.
Hills West lax last year. A little bit of a disappointing year. 8-9. Ended the season with a double OT loss to Rocky Point. I was at that game. I know a lot of the school was. 90-degree something game. It was so hot. But that's definitely one of the best lacrosse games I've ever seen. It was a tough loss for the Colts. And I'm looking for a good year this year. I mean, we'll get Brian on at some point to discuss the outlook for the Colts. But I'm excited, and another season of lax. Let's do it.
Well, you know, that season they almost didn't make the playoffs. They had a couple key injuries. Their goalie got hurt for a bunch of the season. That was at Cortland. They had a great run to end the season, winning. I think they went on a 5-game win streak or something to just get even into the postseason. And, you know, they thought they could make some noise, you know, with Mule, obviously at Duke. But, yeah, tough overtime loss.
There's a lot of talent on this lacrosse team coming up. And there was a lot of talent last year as well. But I feel like a lot of talent from the other schools has either went to college and just stopped or is not on the team anymore. So it's a real opportunity here for the boys to get themselves into a playoff and make a run, especially with Gerald Filardi and Christian Mule. So
exactly. A
big question mark definitely is goaltending here. Obviously with Charlie leaving last year. It's a big shoes to fill. Definitely you have Russell Coffey as options.
Brick wall Russell Coffey.
100%. And I think he might be getting the starting nod. But it's really, you got to go through the spring and see what goes on here before we get into real games. And that's just a big question mark. And that will really see how far they go into the season, how much success they have.
You know, playing lacrosse goalie is a punishing position. People don't realize you get pelted.
Really? How would you know?
I actually played lacrosse goalie in second grade.
Are you kidding?
Second grade on a rec team lacrosse.
How'd you do? Get it. Were you good?
I could have been better.
Yeah. But you get pounded.
Absolutely. You're wearing no padding.
You don't wear any
pads. What are you wearing?
You don't wear anything.
What do you wear? You wear a helmet?
You wear a helmet. You wear some pads, but your legs are completely nothing.
And you have a stick and gloves.
Your body, you get...
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's brutal.
And they're shooting at this level 70 miles per hour, 80 miles per hour
shots. At
least.
You got to think the best players are shooting even harder than
indoor is different than outdoor, though, if I'm right. They wear more of a goalie equipment where they kind of look like cricket players, you know? They've got those, like,
the
full-body padding on, which is,
outdoor,
honestly, it's got to feel better getting hit with there than just your bare leg. With a lacrosse balls really hurt, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, those things are scary.
Yeah.
But I'm really not very good at lacrosse at all. But
which is why you're playing baseball.
Correct.
And, Doug, you got some tryouts.
Ben, on the transitions today.
Yes, tryouts do start.
And, can you give me an outlook on the team this season? How are we looking after last year?
Tryouts do start at 4 today. Lacrosse gets the gym at 2:30, so, you know, got to give them the gym. But last year, JV, 17-2, really impressive. So clearly a lot of young talent coming up into the system. Some older guys filtered out. Bradley Camarda, really a key cornerstone player to the Hills West community here in the Hills West baseball team.
He's pitching a little for Hofstra.
Yes, he is. So you lose some players, but you also gain a lot of young talent. And I think this varsity team is going to shock a lot of people. The mindset in the locker room compared to what others believe is completely different. I think that these players really think that they're going to make some noise. Really, these players are much better hitters than people think. They're very solid players, especially defensively. We have a couple question marks, especially at third base, shortstop. The infield is really a question mark right now. A bunch of catching options. Outfield's pretty much set in stone with a couple seniors, and so you have your leadership out there.
And Miggs has also been there for...
Miggs is just a stud. It's unbelievable. Great coach, honestly.
Great coach.
Really great coach.
We'll get the troops together. 100%. I'm expecting a good year for Hills West.
Yeah, so I think they'll have a much better year than last year. A real bounce back. Played some inspired baseball here, and they could make a run. We could make a run. So
we are.
We are Hills West.
We are Penn State.
Well, actually, yes. I am on the team. So, yes, hopefully we do make the run, and it would be really exciting to be a part of a team like that. So I'm expecting big things from both teams. So it should be exciting.
Yeah, and Gold was saying we are Penn State. That's yes. The thing. Penn State basketball, nice little run to end the season. Definitely. Did lose in the semifinals. Mm-hmm.
I was at the Ohio State. You were at the Penn court.
That's one of the best college basketball games I've seen.
I had to trek through a nor'easter. Took about 3 hours to get there.
Wow.
Caught the last 10 minutes, though.
Shout out to you, by the way, on going to Penn State.
Thank you. Yeah.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. They definitely have a nice team. Tony Carr.
If he stays, hopefully
he
stays.
He's a stud.
Football is just wild. Yeah. I'm excited for football season.
And I got to say about that Big Ten tournament at Madison Square Garden, a lot of people were thinking it was going to be somewhat of a failure because Rutgers is really the only team near the Big Ten tournament. They were sitting at the bottom of the Big Ten this year. But Rutgers, they put on a show. Corey Sanders, Stuttgart.
It was a doubleheader. Geo Baker, I was watching them. Their point guards.
They won
were.
The first two games, and they almost took down Purdue. So that was almost a miracle run there by Rutgers. Corey Sanders did get credit being put on the all-Big Ten tournament team. And, Michigan obviously won that tournament 4 games in 4 days.
Filling out your brackets. Yeah. Look for Michigan to make a deep run.
100%. John Beilein.
I'm so hyped for the NCAA tournament. So hyped.
Slow your roll, brother. Slow your roll.
John Beilein is one of the most underappreciated coaches in college basketball. And I'm not a big fan of Michigan basketball. I don't like him too much, to be honest. But you got to respect
what
he's doing.
Who does like Michigan?
You got to respect what he's doing year in and year out. And two back-to-back Big Ten champions, obviously last year with that plane incident, they had to play in practice jerseys for a game. Again, same situation, won 4 games in 4 days to win the Big Ten title and get the automatic bid. So, they're a good team, definitely getting hot. Beilein, can't underestimate them. And very excited for March Madness. I think there are a lot of teams that could potentially win the title this year.
A lot, the conference tournaments are going on even today as we speak.
Oh, yeah, 12 o'clock.
Keep it going. Virginia beating Louisville.
Yeah, that was a big win for them.
Revenge game of sorts. Louisville was keeping it tight, but Virginia pulled away. I do not trust Virginia in the tournament.
See, the thing with Virginia is I don't personally think they score enough to win a national title.
And I don't think their defense is as good as people say it is.
I was going to say, their defense is one of the best we've ever seen in college basketball. They haven't allowed 70 points all season, if I'm correct. But I just don't think they'll be able to score enough to win a title. You got to win 6 games in a row. I think they'll have no problem getting to the second weekend, that Sweet 16, Elite 8. Maybe even the Final Four. Maybe Tony Bennett finally breaks over the hump and gets to the Final Four. But we'll see what happens with them. They obviously got some great players. Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome in that backcourt. But I don't know if they'll score enough to win the national championship. We'll see what happens, You got to play elite defense for 6 straight games.
A team that I'm looking at, last year's champions, UNC, sort of being underrated this season. Had a couple bad losses that you wouldn't expect out of a UNC team, about 8 losses, not characteristic of them. But they have, the second most quadrant one wins behind Oklahoma. They have senior leadership, Luke May and Joel Berry. They're just studs.
Yeah, and Roy Williams, obviously a great coach. North Carolina,
Hall of Fame coach, of course.
They destroyed Doug Syracuse last night at the ACC tournament.
Wow, so, shocker!
So that was a big win for them. 6 seed coming into the tournament, and they'll be playing Miami tonight.
I think they're a Final Four team.
We'll see. I don't know. They're not. UNC is not as big as they always are. They're always known to have great big guys. They don't really have that dominant big guy this year. But with Joel Berry, that great guard play, and the emergence of Luke May, anything can happen in March, so we'll definitely see.
Really what you like to see also is in the recent years, there hasn't really been a team where you're like, wow, this team's definitely going to win the whole thing. There are a lot of teams here. That are solid. There's not real one favorite where you're like, I'm definitely putting them down.
as the champions of March Madness.
It's going to be a
tough year. It's going to be a tough bracket. I'm expecting a lot of upsets because it's these games are going to come down to the wire, and it's going to be really exciting. And I'm fired up. I don't watch college basketball, and I'm fired up right now.
I'm a huge fan. I'm even doing a bracket.
Yeah, let me get into it. Doug's talking about the upsets. Let me give you some teams to watch when it comes to upsets. A lot of automatic bids already clinched. We already talked about Michigan, but from some of the mid-major conferences, you got the Loyola Chicago Ramblers. They have 5 losses this year, I believe. They completely took over the Missouri Valley Conference once Wichita State left, and they went on the road and they beat Florida this year when they were a top 10 team in the country. So I think they'll be a dangerous 12 seed in your bracket, popular upset pick. And also the Charleston Cougars had a big comeback in the CAA championship game. I think they were down 13 at halftime. And went on to win in overtime versus Northeastern. And that's a program that hasn't been to the tournament since 1999, I want to say. And they're definitely a team to look out for. So Charleston Cougars, Loyola Ramblers, those are definitely some 12 seeds, 13 seeds to keep an eye on.
And you know those 12-seed upsets definitely happen.
What about my St. What's that school that I like?
St. Bonaventure?
Yeah.
Well, the A-10 tournament's getting underway, but they might even get an at-large bid because They played a very tough schedule. They obviously beat Rhode Island at home. Rhode Island's fallen apart a little bit down the stretch. But St. Bonaventure, great players in Jalen Adams and Matt Mobley. So definitely a team to look out for in a March if they make your tournament. They can definitely bust up your bracket.
You know, last year in our school, I happened to be the winner of the March Madness tournament.
Why are we not surprised?
65 entries. Only one emerged. Happened to be me. So I just want to share with our listeners, you know, some tips for filling out their bracket.
Fine.
It's all luck. It's all luck.
It's not all luck because I did the research for 3 days. Hardcore advanced metrics. So the first thing that you have to learn is you can't go by seeding. You can't because there are 8 seeds, 9 seeds. And for me, when I'm watching college basketball, you're like, oh, these teams are very good. But then they get an 8 or 9 seed and people who haven't watched college basketball, they don't know how good they are. Like UNC is going to get a 6 seed and people might look at that and be like, oh, you guys are only a 6 seed. Like, you're not even that good.
UNC will be higher than a 6 seed, definitely.
Or even, like,
I know what you're trying to say.
No, like, teams like Arizona State or teams that, like, aren't on the national stage that get – that are going to be very highly seeded. Like, teams like – no one's watched, like, Tennessee this year. And even though
Tennessee's
gonna,
good.
Even
Tennessee's
though they're
going to
be a high seed, like, it's about knowing teams versus not knowing teams.
Yeah, people like to pick on reputation as your thing.
Exactly. So, like, people are going to look at teams that new this year, like Tennessee, Auburn – that haven't necessarily been good basketball schools, but then also look at a team like Kentucky, and they haven't had a good year.
Yeah, they're very young, very inexperienced.
People might pick them based on people might pick them based on reputation.
Yep.
So you really have to make sure that you know what players are on that team before you pick them.
Great analysis, Gold. I just want to say one more thing before we move on from college hoops. Michael Porter Jr., projected top 5 pick at Missouri. He played 2 minutes in the season opener against Iowa State before injuring his back. He will be back today. So Missouri isn't going to be in the tournament no matter what without him. And I'm looking to see how well they'll get him into the system, get him into the team chemistry. And Michael Porter Jr., definitely a great player. Don't think it'll affect that. It'll only make him better. And a team to watch in March.
One upset pick again, because this is also probably not going to be a popular pick, but a team that's been hot lately, UF, University of Florida. Chizozu's a stud point guard. Look for them. They're going to be probably an 8 or 9 seed, maybe higher than that, but look for them. I'm picking them to go very far.
Yeah, we were actually speaking here with our producers about possibly doing something for March Madness, maybe a live podcast or something with brackets. Just get 100%. People involved. I want people involved. This is going to be an exciting March, and I really think it's going to be very good. I'm even fired up for it, and I haven't watched college basketball in a year. But
nothing like it in sports.
It's pretty sick. It really is. But we'll shift away from the college hoops to the professional level, where actually earlier today we were talking again about the consistent appearance of Golden State in the finals and how you can almost predict the finals matchup and the playoff outcome. So I just want to get your takes on it, and I think it's starting to shift a little bit with the Cavs sort of not as dominant as usual. I think it's up for grabs, and Golden State is not as dominant as they used to be. I think Houston's really got a chance.
Yeah, well, for the record, I still think it's going to be Cavs-Warriors in the final, but that doesn't take anything away from what's happening in the NBA this year. The Rockets are on a 17-game winning streak. James Harden probably going to win MVP, although I'd lean towards LeBron. But the Rockets definitely taking teams down left and right every night. And
Work hard for that one.
That was an unintentional rhyme right there. And the Cavs are probably going to end up being the 3 seed in the East behind the Raptors and the Celtics. Raptors, DeMar DeRozan had a great performance last night, OT win against the Pistons. But the thing is, I don't think anyone's beaten LeBron in a 7-game series, so I do still think it'll be Cavs
Raptors.
Warriors.
It's interesting. It's really interesting here what you could see. The Celtics are in play, the Raptors are in play, and Cleveland's in play. So you really, it's more exciting, honestly. And I'm, again, it just fired up for these playoffs to start. Everything's coming to an end. NHL's coming to an end. NBA's coming to an end. March Madness is starting up. This is the time where you want to get fired up for sports.
Basketball mode.
If you're not a sports fan, this is the time where you really want to get engaged, because you also have the MLB starting. You have a lot of stuff going on. It's like a mixture. Even NFL offseason can be interesting at some point.
Free agency is about to start.
And the draft. Exactly. So everything's coming around at the same time. And the good thing about
March Madness is you don't really have to know anything. Tons of people don't.
Totally.
Just something to get involved in.
Do some minimal research and just
Or
put
you
down,
can do maximum research.
Yeah, do whatever you got to do, you know? Figure it out. Just get involved, because we want to see people get involved. But coming out of the West, I think Houston's got a legit shot against Golden State in a 7-game series. Although Golden State does have the big four, if you'd like to call it that. But I just don't think Golden State's as dominant anymore. It's almost sort of phasing, you know? It's like teams have sort of figured it out how to beat them. And I think Harden really has become a leader. He's become almost the face of the league. Of course, LeBron is there. He will always be there until he retires. But if you're talking about newer guys stepping up and becoming elite, like Harden's elite. He was a great player. Now he's legitimately elite. And I think he can lead a team past Golden State and definitely beat someone from the East.
Yeah, I agree with you that Harden is an elite guard, one of the top three in the league probably. But what I'm going to say is I think the Rockets can give the Warriors a series in a 7-game series. I don't think they'll beat them. I think it can go to 6 or 7. But when I don't think the Warriors are giving their 100% effort in the regular season.
They're not,
though.
Which I don't like.
No, when the Warriors get to the playoffs, whether the 1 seed or the 2 seed, they're going to turn on another gear, and they're going to win the West. It's just going to happen. They have Kevin Durant, who's a top 10 player in NBA history.
They don't play defense.
You have Steph Curry, who's probably the best shooter
in
NBA
history. Here's what they learned. When they won 73 games, they're like, okay, we got gassed. We didn't win a championship. They're focused on a championship. Same thing that the Cavs are doing. That's why they're both not going to get number 1 seeds. The Rockets have something to prove to everyone that they belong. So they have to win all of these games. They have to get the 1 seed.
Okay.
They're like, oh, we're going to play the Warriors on our home court like it matters, which it doesn't. The Warriors are in that stage where they've been to 3 or 4 straight finals. They're tired. They're going to conserve their energy. They're not playing their best. They're trying out different lineups. And by the time the playoffs come, nothing to worry
so
about.
This is why the NBA regular season stinks, and that's why we wait for the playoffs. In most sports, honestly, you wait for the playoffs. That's the most exciting part. So do you believe all the nonsense that Steve Kerr says, which the players coach, the Phoenix Suns. Him coming out in his post-game conference and saying that they're just not playing well at all? Is that just a game that he's playing? Does he know that they're not really going 100%? Because it's kind of disrespectful to the game, honestly, like that you're going to come out and just perform not 100%. There are a lot of players in this league that go out every night and they perform. And it shows. But I get what you're saying. 100%, they're a little tired. They know that they can sort of walk into the playoffs and turn on another level, especially when you have KD and Steph, arguably two of the top players in the league.
I would say two out of the top three.
I agree, 100%. I don't know. I'd say two out of the top five.
Two out of the top five,
definitely.
We don't need to get into the top five debate.
No, let's do it right now. Let's get it. KD,
LeBron.
KD, LeBron.
Steph. KD's ahead of LeBron.
I would say they're 1A, 1B.
No,
At this point in their career, LeBron.
It's 1A, 1B.
No, because you can't say that.
I just
You have a snake over in Golden State. He's on a team with four All-Stars. That's ridiculous.
It is.
Come on, dude.
He's one of the greatest.
LeBron carries them every night.
That's true.
LeBron carries them. LeBron's the best player in the league. LeBron, KD,
1A, 1B. At this
Harden,
point in their career.
Steph. Figure out the rest.
One A, one B.
You can switch up Stephen Harden.
Also,
Kawhi.
Then tell me, how did KD dominate LeBron in the finals?
That's not how it works.
It is how it works.
No, it's not.
No.
And LeBron dominated KD in the finals when he was in OKC. So
exactly, and LeBron was a better player.
But he still is the better player. It's not.
It's like LeBron is doing two jobs compared to KD's half job, where he's just standing around playing defense.
From a value standpoint, where would the Warriors be with that Kevin Durant? Top two team in the West.
I think the Rockets are favorites against the Warriors. With KD, the Warriors are easily favorites against the Rockets.
Top two team in the West.
I just said
Where would the Cavs be without LeBron?
Obviously, I'm
bottom of the league.
But also, they're in the East. So you're saying if KD could go to any team in the East and they would immediately be where LeBron is.
I'm not referring to conferences. I'm not referring to conferences. If KD wasn't there, the Warriors would not only be top two in the West, they'd be top two in the league. If LeBron wasn't on the Cavs, they'd be lost. They wouldn't be top 10 in the league. They may not even be top 15 in the league. So LeBron's the most valuable player.
I'm not saying he's going to win the MVP. So you're telling me if you switch LeBron and KD and you put KD on the Cavs, you think they don't perform as well?
He's not saying that.
He's saying what is there right now. Correct.
But you're trying to minimize what KD's contribution is. I'm saying if you put him on the Cavs, it's the same
result. But look what they did. Look what Golden State did without KD.
Yeah, I know.
Look at what the Cleveland Cavaliers were without LeBron.
I'm aware.
Bottom of the league.
I'm aware.
So if you're taking LeBron off the roster right now and you're putting him on another team, it doesn't even matter about that team. No, we're not doing that.
KD on the roster. Yes, you do.
We're comparing it this way. If you take LeBron.
You're just saying what team's better.
Listen to me.
Obviously, the Warriors are better than the Cavs.
He's not talking about team. He's talking from a value. I understand you, Doug. He's talking from a value
standpoint.
Yes, you
take LeBron.
The Warriors have a better team. So obviously, if you take KD away, they're not going to be as bad as if you take LeBron off the Cavs because the Warriors are a better team. So you can't do that comparison between KD and LeBron like that. You have to switch their roles.
Okay, so let's switch the roles.
So I'm saying if KD's on the Cavs and you take LeBron off the Cavs, I think the Cavs maybe plus or minus 5
games.
Gold, your point gets canceled out. KD in OKC. Did KD ever win in OKC?
Correct. Thank you.
And not only did he have... KD had another star with him in OKC. Who does LeBron have in Cleveland?
Russell Westbrook is a good player.
Jordan Clarkson is a good player.
Russell Westbrook can't play with other players.
Okay, Doug, move on.
Okay, that was a fired-up debate. And one last thing. KD does turn it on. I'm not saying he doesn't turn it on
KD's
in the playoffs.
He's a great player.
He's
top 10 all time.
He's a great defender. He's a great defender when he wants to be. Clearly, they give up 140 points a night. They don't even care what they're doing. They'll just score as much as they want because they've got people that just shoot the lights out. It's ridiculous. So, I mean, I liked what you said with the 1A and the 1B. I like it. But
at this point in their career, right now,
I just think LeBron's the best player in the world.
I think LeBron's the best player of all time. I'm just saying right now, I think they're tied.
Fair. Okay. Whatever you got to, whatever. Fine. That actually makes a little bit of sense. Great. All right. So, wow. That was great. So we'll shift over to the NFL offseason. Some interesting stuff going on, really.
Kirk Cousins to the Jets. Let's go.
I don't think he's going to the Jets. I do not think.
Let's do this. Let's go Kirk Cousin destinations, and then we're going to talk about top five draft projections.
Well, they say that he's already narrowed it down to Minnesota and the Jets. And obviously, I like the argument that some people have been making where if Kirk Cousins goes to the Jets, he can make his legacy there. He could turn it around. He will be hailed as the one who saved the franchise. If he goes to the Vikings, he's the last piece in the puzzle. He's not the one who's been needed. He's not going to get the amount of praise that he will get in the Jets for even getting 9 wins. Vikings, if he goes there, Super Bowl expectations. And that's something that's tough to deal with, and the Jets are also willing to give him more money.
I think he wants the Super Bowl expectations. And the Vikings, by the way, rumored to offer him a 3-year, $91 million contract. That is a great contract for Kirk Cousins. 3 years, no long-term commitment. You get to go there. You get to go to a place.
Wait, what?
You
get 3 years, 91?
3 years, $91 million. So what is that? 30.3 million per year.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's big.
And those are just some reports haven't been on mainstream yet, but that's what I've been hearing. And if Kirk Cousins goes to Minnesota, gives him an immediate chance to win. And why would he go to the Jets?
I agree. So I think because
he
also
has the offensive coordinator who he's been teamed up with, the location, the amount that they have to spend in cap, and the team that they can build around him.
Also,
I know they have the cap money, but what makes if it's from a money standpoint, we know the Vikings are going to give him a lot of money. I just said that.
Yeah, no.
So why?
Also
so why would
other
he go to the Jets?
The other cap space that they have to build the team around him.
Yeah, but also with the Super Bowl expectations, I think Kirk Cousins likes the pressure. He's been playing on the franchise tag for the last couple of years, and he believes in himself. He plays for himself. So right now, if you get him locked in for a couple of years, he'll get into the team game. He's always played for himself. If you give him a contract, let's get him into a team. Let's get him settled. It's not like he knows he's playing there for 1 year, then he's got to restructure his deal, figure out a new place to sign, get the franchise tag, whatever. If you get him settled down for 3 years, now you start to work him in. I like him in Minnesota. I do not like him in the Jets. Here we go. The Jets are not ready to win anything right now.
Listen to me.
They are not. They are not ready to win anything.
They won five
right
games
now.
Last year and winning another three.
They are not ready to win anything. Why would you want to be a team that keeps on stumbling?
You wouldn't stumble
to the finish line, maybe barely get into the playoffs and then lose first round. It's not worth it.
It's about building. It's about building and what he can contribute to the team.
Yeah, but it's not. They don't need that. They need a young core.
They need a rebuild.
Franchise
quarterback.
No.
They're not ready to win.
They have to draft.
Anyone can win with the franchise
quarterback. You have to draft your young quarterback and build the team around that. You need to work on your defense and your offense. They're just not.
They are working on their defense.
You can't put Kirk Cousins in the mix.
Yes, you can.
I think you can too. As a Jets fan, you have a lot of money. You can spend it on Kirk. I'm coming from the point of Kirk Cousins. Where why would he sign with the Jets? There's no point unless you're all in for
the
money,
guy.
Which he's and not. And the Vikings are going
to
offer him a lot of money too. So I don't think the Jets are the ideal
destination. If you're Kirk
Cousins,
are you comfortable
Cousins.
With the other three quarterbacks that are on the roster?
For the Vikings?
Yeah.
None of them are under contract.
No, I know. But so what are you going to say, that they're not going to re-sign any of them?
If they sign Kirk Cousins, I mean,
Minnesota wants Teddy Bridgewater to play?
No, they probably do want Teddy Bridgewater to play. But if they sign Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins doesn't have to worry about three guys behind his back. If the Vikings sign Kirk Cousins, they're signing him to be their guy.
Correct. I just don't see the Jets winning anything. I get your whole Kirk Cousins to the Jets will get him three more wins. Good for them. Then they're 8-8. Good for them. Big deal.
But it's also about what they could do in the draft.
Yeah, but then you're winning more games. You have a later pick in the draft now. So can you just think about this?
I
get what you're saying, but why wouldn't they want to get their franchise quarterback in this draft? There's at least six quarterbacks to go after.
Well, you thought these quarterbacks were going to be locks year before.
No.
Now,
I don't think they're any of them are locks.
So now you're saying that they're all flawed. They all have flaws. Josh Allen.
Josh very Allen's potential to very, be yeah, the number one very, overall pick.
His very low completion percentage worries you. Sam Darnold and his decision-making worries you. Josh Rosen and his commitment to football worries you. Baker Mayfield, who I think is going to end up being the best out of all of them.
Correct.
His size and his stature.
Yeah, Drew Brees. Tell me about
right,
size and stature.
The exception.
All right.
Not the exception, not the rule. So all of them have major concerns. Kirk Cousins established, and I hope the Jets get him.
I think that would be his... I don't even know. Whatever. I just don't like that idea. I think Kirk Cousins is a loser, honestly. He is a loser. He's had chances to win stuff in Washington. He's a loser.
Washington's a cancerous franchise.
That's...
And the Jets aren't?
They had one injury-plagued season last year where they actually had a potential to win the division if they didn't get so hurt.
They're starting to have some stability, rehiring their coach.
That dummy!
Contract. Todd Bowles.
Bowles.
Who won 10 games?
At the
games?
Beginning of the year.
He won 10
ben,
games with Ryan.
Ben,
I
at
was
the
not,
beginning
I,
of the
I,
year.
I was not calling
you
for
were talking
Ryan.
About
was
his
not.
Time management, and you were telling
was,
me this was the worst coach you've ever
bad
had.
Management,
I didn't say worst coach
you've
ever had. I
said Patrick. He won 10 games
yeah,
with Ryan.
Yeah, that was a magical run.
It was.
That was a good season.
They have the same offensive coordinator. Like
no, we have a new offensive coordinator this year.
No, I'm saying like the same style of football that we had when we won those type of games. We have the potential to build around Kirk Cousins, but that's where you need to start.
I would have liked to see the Browns get Kirk Cousins, actually, with Todd Haley as offensive coordinator. Plug him in. They have cap space as well. They can improve their defense, and they could be they could actually win some games. How about that? They would win some games.
They were in games last year, a couple overtime
definitely.
Games.
Yeah, there was definitely improvement there despite the 0-16 record. So, Gold, I just want to say one thing before we end it here. I think it's blasphemous that you call the Redskins cancerous and say the Jets aren't. So, I guess that'll do it for us today. As always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Achudi, Dr. Catapano and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience who listens every Thursday. Today's producers, I mean, it's ourselves, Mr. Doxy. And finally, a very special thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon alongside Matthew Gold and Doug Stuka. We will see you next week.
Cousins to Minnesota.